it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hola, chicos y chicas. Many thanks for joining me on the Joy of Paddle podcast, spreading and sharing the supreme delight of this wonderful and fast-growing game. I'm your host, Minter Dial, and this podcast is brought to you by Paddle 1969, the largest manufacturer of premium paddle courts. One court for life by Paddle 1969. The Joy of Paddle is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. For more information about this network, please go check out their site, evergreenpodcasts.com. So this is the second season for The Joy of Paddle, and as with last season, we'll be running an episode once every fortnight. Please let us know what you think about the show by putting up a rating and a review. Hey there, and welcome to episode number one of the second season of the Joy of Paddle podcast. This one is with Enrique Corcuera Jr. If you recognize the name, it's because he is the son of Enrique Corcuera Sr., who, with his mother Viviana, were the founders of this beautiful sport. In this conversation with Enrique, he regales us with the backstory about the creation of paddle, about his experience during his youth, and how the sport gradually grew to what it is today. We discuss the origin of the name of the sport, the patents and developments, the spread into Argentina, and the prospects going forward. We also explore Enrique's current involvement in paddle with Copa Paddle, and how he relishes his time on the paddle court too. Vamos! Enrique Corcuera, I get to say that name very often, and it's never been my chance to be able to say to Enrique Corcuera, welcome to the Joy of Paddle. I speak much about the origin of paddle. I've had my father on, who played on your father's court. I've had Nelly Granda, the son of Jean-Noël, playing on your court. And now I have the great privilege to have the son of the founder of Enrique Corcuera and Viviana, who were the beginners. So I often ask my guests, what's their route to paddle? Let's say that your route is just a tad bit different from everybody else's. Enrique, tell us about your beginnings of playing paddle and being on the mythical, the wonderful initial court that your father and mother built.
Well, when I was born, paddle was already 5-6 years old. So I remember the court was in my house. So I remember playing at 4 or 5 years old with my father and his friends. So for me, it was a part of my life. It never came to me. It was there always.
That's right. And so you got to play on this court. That what we always understood was it was because you didn't have enough space at that house for a typical tennis court. But what I've understood is that actually the idea of having a game in your backyard existed, well, not in yours specifically because you're younger, but in your father and mother's backyard, started way before in the 50s. Can you take us through how it you know, what were the original experiences and experiments that were tried until you get to the final 1969 20 by 10?
Yes, of course. My father had a sugarcane ranch, we call them haciendas. And in there, he built a front-on court. And one day he decided to play the other player, but against each other like tennis. So he put a net in the middle of the front-on court, and they started playing with tennis rackets and tennis balls. And he liked the idea of using the wall with the front-on rules of the rebound. And then when he saw that it was a lot of fun to play tennis with the back wall and with the side
But of
wall.
course, in this case, there's only one wall because front on, you play against one wall, right?
No, you play against one wall, but it has two walls. But so they could play with the both walls. So they had three walls. They didn't have the left wall. So the only if they the rule was you can only play with the back wall. And he played like that for a few years, but there he got the idea. And then there was a sport called paddle tennis. An American sport,
Platform paddle.
platform paddle. And from then he saw that, and with his permits with the wall, when he got the house in Acapulco, it wasn't that big to build his fronton, so he decided to mix the two. He mixed them and he started experimenting with his friends and family. You were one of the first victims, I heard. And then he got it. He got something fun. And that was 1969. And by 1980, he got the rules and the rule book. He draw up. He made it.
The famous Corcuera paddle rules, which my
Yeah.
father ha had a copy of, but for some reason, somehow, I can't locate it anymore. So I would love to get an original copy again. I've been scouring eBay to see if there's one that will become available again.
I get you one.
Oh, that would be beautiful. So the interesting thing about the game now today, 20 by 10, it is quite different. In that you have the 4 meter walls and then the grill, the netting that's around, compared to what it was at the very beginning, which is as I understand it. And some of the rules, as I understand it, Nali told me, was that some of the, you would go to your friends who built similar games because they so enjoyed your father's version that they started creating their own little paddle games. But the rules were different in different houses. And one of the rules that I used to hear was that since the walls were only 3 meters long and it was a tennis ball, if you hit the ball out, which was so much easier to do, you lose the point, as opposed to today, where it's sort of you win the point, basically, if you can manage to hit it out. I was wondering if you could qualify that story. And then the other one is tell us any other rules that have changed since the famous Corcuera rules book.
Well, yes, there were like 10 courts in Las Brisas in Acapulco, but they all had a, they have the 20 by 10. They all respected that. And, but the, some side walls were smaller, some back walls were higher, some were small. Some houses decided that if the ball got out of the court, it was bad. And particularly because it was also very expensive to buy tennis balls in Acapulco in the 70s, in the 80s. They were not easy to get. So we took care of them. And so, yes, that is true. And every house had its own particular rule. Like my side, this side wall is good. That one is it's not good because we have a garden over there, etc., etc.
Ruin the roses.
Exactly. So that is true. And yes, so if you hit it very hard and you got it out of the court, you lose the point. Yes.
And I also
Okay.
understand your father at the beginning, one of the rules is when you serve underhand, he preferred it not to be bouncing into the sidewall, as in, or the glass where now it is.
Yes, they weren't the players were not very advanced because they were learning, no? It was a new game, so playing against the sidewall on the serve was difficult. So they decided that it has to hit the back wall first, or not at all. But the sidewall was considered a fault, and that is the only difference between my paddle Corcuera and the new paddle. Is the serve the sidewall is not it was not permitted by my father.
I love those little details, Enrique. And so today, One of the things I understand from having listened is that your father had a patent on the game. Tell us about that and where we are with the patent.
When the sport started to take off in Spain and in Argentina, and they started to talk who invented it, and my father wanted to know that, but he wanted everybody to know the truth. So he got a very good friend of him, a notary called Soto Borja, Ignacio Soto Borja. And what should we do? Well, we have the rule book and we have the pictures that you were the first. So let's patent all those things and let's do the International Paddle Federation. And that's what they did. And it was difficult at the beginning because you have to put the Argentinians and the Spaniards together and make them agree on some rules and then the new government body and the rule book and etc. But after some lobbying, we were able to do it thanks to Nacho Soto Borja, and the International Paddle Federation was born, and the Spanish Federation, Argentina Federation.
So concretely, you get recognition for the invention of the game, the origin of it, which is beautiful. And to what extent is there a patent and that you can somehow participate in the something that you began? I know you're involved with Copa, which is very interesting. I want to hear about that. But is there any other benefit to you for having invented paddle?
We had another patent with the glass walls, and that patent lasted 10 years. But my father took the decision that he wanted to make no money off it. And it was the most important thing was for the sport to grow and not to make money off it. And so he very altruistically decided never to make money with that part of the game.
Well, it's been a gift to the world. Is what I talk about. And Enrique, when I've been playing, obviously, since 1974 myself. And what I say, there are five rules to paddle, but rule number one is the most important. And rule number one is have fun.
I agree.
I figured you would. So let's talk about what your involvement is in paddle, because I understand you're quite active in paddle with Copa, the Corcuera paddle, as I know, says COPA paddle. So tell us what you're doing in paddle.
Well, we have a brand, friends and family members, and it's called Corcuera Paddle Copa. And we make, we have a clothing line and rackets, balls, and I can send you a brochure so you can show it. And we started 2 years ago and we're doing pretty well. We're in Mexico and now we're moving international.
Nice.
And the idea is every product has a signature of my father and the story of the game, and like going back to the beginning.
It smells like René Lacoste for me.
Exactly. That was the idea. Yes. Very classic. Because all the paddle clothing and it's very colorful and it's more like a football or like something Nadal or Alcaraz would wear. And we have there is no paddle clothing that is like Lacoste or like the original. When you play in the 70s with my father, they dressed in white. No, they didn't play with colorful shirts.
Now, those were the classic days, Enrique. And one of the things that was really interesting to me as I've been researching before this call was the growth in Argentina. I had always assumed that the growth, which was monumental in Argentina, was related to your mum. But it's not like it just sort of happens naturally. You've got to be a little intentional to get it to have. I mean, as I understand it, there were 30,000 courts in Argentina at one point. So it was growing like mushrooms back in the 80s, right? Or maybe late 70s and 80s. Do you have any more understanding of how it got so popular in Argentina? Was it sort of, you know, Maradona or whoever was the Argentine footballer of the day? What was it that made it so popular so early, much even more popular than Spain?
How it grew so fast, I'm not sure. What I know is that they played on a cement court, and in the 80s it was having a boom, but then it had a big decline because playing on cement and concrete without the artificial grass hurts your knees. So many people started suffering knee pain. So they had to rebuild all the courts with grass to with according to the new regulations, and that fixed the problem. But it was a very big boom. Argentina is a country, they love tennis, and they do a lot of sports. They are very very good at it, very cultural sports. They love to play everything. So when they discovered they could play tennis in a small court, that it was more, well, my opinion, more fun than tennis and easier, and you can play four, they went crazy about it, yes.
Well, that
Many
is,
clubs started
it's still the case.
to build small courts, and well, in a tennis court you can put three paddle courts, and also that's also an advantage.
No doubt. Well, Los Argentinos Masculinos son are the current world champions, right? The men's version. So they're always Argentinians and Spaniards. That's basically, they rule the roost still. We're still waiting for some Mexicans, by the way. I play with one of my favorite Mexican players, a guy called Gabo Loredo, who's based in Sweden. So he always gave me a little bit of the taste of paddle in Mexico, but waiting for more. So Copa is your let's say the commercial side of what you're up to and bringing that. And I can't wait to find some Copa merchandise. But what about you? You're playing. You play ten. You play paddle. And have lived your life through the evolution of paddle. It has presumably always been part of your life. How have you developed your game? I mean, and how would you describe the change in the game?
It's more offensive. I play very well in the back of the court because at the beginning we play a lot in the back, one player at the back, one player in the front. So I'm really good at the rebounds in the back, but the ex-tennis players are really good at the net. So that's where I mostly in the overhead and in the net, that's where I'm good, but not excellent. In the back, I'm really good.
You're a defender. I love to defend personally as well.
Yeah,
One of the
it
questions,
depends.
one of the questions I like to ask are, what sort of an animal are you on the tennis court? How would you describe Enrique, the paddle player, as an animal?
I like to be very stable, not run a lot. So I know it would be something like a tiger or something like that.
Still pouncing around. And
Yeah.
so what's your favorite shot?
My favorite shot is the from the rebound from the back wall, and hit it back hard.
Like La Bajada,
La bajada is my favorite shot.
the one that's up high off the back. I say it in English just to describe it. For
Yeah.
those who don't just know all the Spanish terms yet, working on it. And what about the Pro Tour? Do you watch the Pro Tour a lot?
I watched some of the Pro Tour, and this year is changing. We have a new tournaments, and I think it's doing great. And I also go to see them live because I have when they play in Mexico, I put my store, my Copa store, on the tournament. So I'm very happy because I'm on in all the matches watching them, and then I go outside and sell my merchandise and talk to everyone about the creation of paddle and et cetera, et cetera.
Just like we're doing now. And I have to
Exactly.
imagine do you do Instagram?
No, everything that has to do with paddle, I do it via the Copa website and my interviews and et cetera. No, I don't use my personal Instagram for much of that.
I was just wondering if yours is like mine. My personal Instagram, I have a Joy of Paddle Instagram, but my personal one is just one after the other. Paddle points, paddle points, paddle points, which I love, by the way. It doesn't seem to.
But I want to start. I agree with you. I want to buy one of those cameras you can put on the back of the court to report some points. It's a good idea.
There are a bunch of them. One of them I love is once you've done a good point, you run over and you punch and it captures the last 45 seconds. And then because it films it from several angles, but it doesn't retain all of them. So only the good points. You go over, capture it. And I don't remember what the tech is, but lots of good ways to do that. Because a lot of points aren't quite as great as the pro paddle players.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You only record the last 45, the last point you want. You don't want to look everyone looking at the bad points.
Yeah, exactly.
Send me the information about that. I would need to buy one.
It's called Push It. I will send it to you, and that's a great one. And then those are that you probably met some of them. But who are your favorite pro players to watch?
Estupasu is my
Argentinian.
Favorite. The Argentinian, he moves like a gazelle. Like, he's very fast, beautiful style, and without hitting the ball so hard, just a lot of control and positioning. So it's one of the crowd's favorite, and it's also my favorite.
Yeah, his rulo is just spectacular. I mean, he's lots of shots, right? But such exactly. A great mover. How about amongst the women?
Salazar or Las Gemelas, the Atomic, I like them. Yes, I recommend to learn. Like the level of the women is similar to my level, a lot more similar. So I prefer to watch the women to learn to new tactics and etc. I watch the women more carefully in that sense. The men, I prefer to watch them for the spectacle. But I cannot imitate what they do. I cannot go out of the court, etc. But with the women, it's better for me to learn.
That is such a great insight, Enrique. I absolutely agree with you. I think that it's more realistic for us. The pace, I mean, it's not that they don't play incredible paddle and all that, but it's something we can perhaps, especially as we move on in age, relate to and it's slower. And the Gemelas, the twins, of course, are great. The idea of that complementarity of the team as well, watching them communicate so well and get it all together on the court.
Yeah, because they hit the ball harder than me, obviously, but they are not so offensive and they don't have those weapons, not like the men have. That from any angle of the court, they can probably hit it out.
Yeah.
So they have to get in position. I like to watch how they do it.
That's right. The portres that the LeBron or Galan can do from the very back, or Tapia, the back of the court. I mean, crazy, right? Yeah. It's hard to imagine. You've played paddle a long time, and paddle is about having fun. What about if you have in your past a story about the most fun experience you've ever had on a paddle court, or one that comes to mind anyway?
Playing with my father was a lot of fun. And before he had the rule book, he used to change the rules at his convenience.
Ah.
So when we were playing with him and the famous Tula ball, when it's a little up or a little down, he decided when it was good or bad because he invented the game. So that was always a lot of fun discussing, everybody discussing with him. And in the end, I invented it. I decided it was good.
Yeah, cállate.
Always is beneficial.
Well, it sounds very much like Henry VIII, who also changed the rules of real tennis to favor him, right?
I didn't know that. Ah, well, that's exactly like that.
Exactly. And who's going to disagree with the king of paddle?
Exactly.
That's wonderful. What about, and I think it's true of all sports in some degree, but paddle for you, Enrique, in your life, what sort of lessons has paddle brought to you in your regular life?
Paddle gives me the discipline of working out, and which is very, very important in life. And you don't have to go to the gym. And I've tried all different sports, but paddle is more addictive. And it's a good addiction, in my opinion. I mean, I want to play every day and I feel incomplete when I don't play. And but it's good for your body, it's good for you. So that's the main benefit is physically. I'm thin, I'm in shape, and thanks to it, I don't have to do anything else but play paddle 4 or 5 times a week. And I love it, and I have a lot of friends inviting me and doing tournaments and different meeting new people. It's very social, and so I really like it. I mean, if my father hadn't invented it, I would play it anyway. I really love it.
So I'm going to tell you, Enrique, my 5 rules. I told you, now, rule number one is have fun. Rule number two is don't get injured because then we can't have fun. Rule number three is try to play well because why not? Rule number four is, in order, try to win. And then I add a rule number five. You mentioned social. Rule number five. What's rule number five? You have to have a beer afternoon after the game.
Oh yeah, it's a good idea. And the weekends I do on the week, sometimes I don't. But yes, it's a great idea. I will start practicing it.
Excellent. I'm not imposing, but what I will do is when I come and when we finally play together, Enrique, we will have a good old social time as well as a good old battle on the court. So, last question for you, Enrique. What about the future of paddle? How do you, from your standpoint, consider the future of paddle? What countries do you see standing out? Where is it going? Is it going to be more than football, less than football?
Well, the future right now is in Mexico. We have to, it's growing at the right pace, very fast, but we need professional players that can compete with the best. And we are far from that. We're just starting with the juniors to get them at the level. So we are very involved in that. And we have to penetrate the American market, the Americans. They're starting to play, especially in the South states like Texas and California and Florida. But there are some people playing in New York area, and a lot of clubs are, 3 clubs already exist there. So yes, the American market is very important, and we have the little problem with this game called Pickle that they are playing Pickle like. The Americans, they don't like rugby. They invent American football. They don't like cricket, or they invent baseball.
Baseball. They
They
don't
try to.
take football, which is a game played with the feet, and they play it with the hands.
Yeah, or I think it's rugby. I think they took rugby and made it
Yeah.
football. I don't know, but it's only play on their country, and. I hope that paddle is like tennis in the US that is very popular and it's a world sport that everybody plays and they don't have because pickle is not going to move beyond the Americans. It's a game, it's not a sport. And so that's the entering the American market is the most important thing in the next decade for paddle, in my opinion. I don't know nothing about Asia. I haven't studied the situation.
It's
Too far away from me.
just beginning. But I do want to give a little hat tip to my other two Mexican chums, Aldo, who owns the big club in Cancun, and Wilson Arceo, a wonderful coach. Highly recommend it. Met him in Mérida. So, with that, Enrique, it's been great to have you on the show. I feel really honored to have been able to meet you. Thank you for taking some time to talk about what is clearly a common passion. What's the last word you'd like to say to the Joy of Paddle guests, hosts?
Well, thank you for having me. Play paddle, try it. Just take one class. In the second class, the second hour, you're gonna be hooked. It's fun. It's easy, and it's easy to start. But then you can go. It has a lot of challenges to become good at it. But it's the difference with playing tennis or squash is that at the beginning you suffer. In or You're not gonna suffer in the first after the first hour. You're not suffering anymore. You are having fun, so try it. Just try it.
The risk is you'll be addicted.
Yes.
Enrique, muchas gracias.
Thank you. Gracias a ustedes. Thank you for listening to me and taking the time to hear the story.
It's been our pleasure. So I hope you've enjoyed this Joy of Paddle episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to be the first in queue for the next episode. And if you like what you hear, please do share around with other paddle aficionados. This is a sport that deserves to be played by absolutely everyone. And if you've got a story that you'd like to share, please send me an email or, better yet, a voice note at nminterdial@gmail.com. With that, thanks for listening and see you on the next episode of the Joy of Paddle podcast. Vamos!
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.